Always look forward to Fridays talking with our good friend John Rash on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline. John, of course, at the Star Tribune on the editorial board. John, are you writing in tomorrow's paper, by the way?
Indeed, I am, and I'm going to write about another kind of virus that goes along with the coronavirus, and that's disinformation and misinformation. And in particular, Russia and China have aggressively moved to increase the intensity of disinformation, very similar to Russia's attacks on the 2016 and 2018 elections. And they're doing it for several reasons. One, to deflect criticism that is apparent within their societies in terms of how they have handled or mishandled the virus. And two, to try to gain geopolitical advantage. So writing about that and how some common sense methods can help protect all Americans from that kind of bad information or passing it on.
John, you and I touched on this last week. I read another piece on it last night about Wuhan, particularly in the Chinese government and how they were told they shut it down. But we talked about privacy issues and the users' mobile phones. I read more about it yesterday, it was, where the phone, everybody's phone, actually show up green, red, or yellow when they try to get into various, whether they're going onto the subway or whether they're going onto a transportation, I should say, whether they're going into a market, a supermarket, whatever it is. And guards apparently look at their phone to see if it's red, green, or yellow. At what point is that helpful? At what point do we really believe what they're doing? And at what point can our government follow our phones to see where we're going?
Well, from a scientific and a medical perspective, it certainly could be helpful in terms of stopping the spread of the disease. I think that we're very far away from that in this country. Civil liberties concerns, well-founded, you know, I think might give some people pause, although certainly there may be increasing calls for that as people try to literally save lives by such technology. But we're also extraordinarily far from the type of mass testing that they were able to do in Wuhan and throughout other affected portions of China. And so you have to have the raw data and it has to be reliable for people to come even close to agreeing to any kind of system like that. Now, there is some talk, as you know, of, you know, a test that would suggest if people have been exposed, if they have some temporary, at least, immunity to it, and they might, you know, there has been some talk, as you have read and I'm sure discussed on WCCO, you know, talk of some kind of indicator that people could have it. It's safe to go back to work at this point, but we're really far from that and that kind of a voluntary system, let alone tracking of cell phones. I will say a really interesting graphic point on the front cover of the New York Times today and widely reproduced throughout the internet was tracking of cell phones, not individuals, but just on a national basis in terms of how far people traveled from home. And it showed that those states that early went to a stay-at-home order had by far the lowest percentage of people who went 2 miles from their home, whereas many other states, particularly in the South and other rural parts of the country, had near normal travel, which suggests that we have a really uneven response, which is quite different than a lot of different countries in terms of how they have had much more of a nationalized stay-at-home order, as you see in Spain and France and elsewhere.
Yeah, John, and I'll look forward to your column, especially tomorrow, because the misinformation is concerning right now, because we're learning so many new things. You just look at today now. All of a sudden, we're talking about should all of us have a mask on, and it wasn't long ago. We're saying, no, unless you're infected, you don't need a mask. So, we're all learning together at the same time, the great unknown out there. So I guess that's what's leading to this high level of stress a lot of people are feeling.
No question about it. And, of course, you know, by far and away, the most important and profound worry and inducer of stress is the health concern, but the economic one is certainly interrelated into that. And with the rising number of joblessness and people whose workplaces feel more vulnerable, that certainly is contributing to it as well. And so good information isn't a complete antidote to, you know, what is stressing us, but it certainly helps people sort it out and be able to react accordingly to protect themselves and their family. And the family of Minnesota and the country and the world as a whole. And that, you know, it seems and it appears to be cliche, but is quite true in that we are indeed all in this together, and people are contending with it as a society because individual actions have a collective impact. And so I think that they are trying really hard to get that message out, and it seems like it is resonating throughout the country and certainly having some success, it would appear, in Seattle and Los Angeles and San Francisco, which have done a little bit better in terms of mitigating the impact of this crisis because they acted early on it, and Minnesota acted relatively early as well. So let's hope that we have some good impacts from that as well.
Let's go back to reliable reporting for just a minute, because one of the concerns I have is what you and I are seeing in the industry that we are in. For example, certainly in electronic media, there's a lot of furloughs taking place. There's a lot of eliminations, unfortunately, and firings taking place just because of what's going on with ad revenue. A U.S. newspaper industry also says they're facing, a spokesman said, they're facing an unprecedented new challenge as well, where readers are, we're now more reliant than ever on local media, John, with what's going on out there. But online traffic, as you know, is up. Subscriptions are up, but advertising is down, and so we're seeing furloughs in the business you and I are in.
You know, I think that is the really key point, Dave, is that number one, people need this information more than ever. Number two, it is being delivered extraordinarily well, I would argue, by WCCO Radio, the Star Tribune, many other media outlets locally and indeed nationally. But the conundrum is people need it more and are accessing it more than ever. But advertisers, for understandable reasons, because their businesses are at least on pause, if not closed at this point, have been reluctant to advertise. So it truly is a crisis. And it's not just one that affects those who happen to work in media, as you and I and our friends and colleagues do. It affects all of society because the necessity of the news organizations in conveying this information has never been more important. So among the many other crises that have been caused by the pandemic, this truly is one. And as you well know, once a newspaper, you know, would stop the publisher, significantly cut back, or a radio or a TV station, it's much slower and much less likely to ramp up. And that's a loss for the whole community. So expect a lot more conversation about this on a national level as some look toward the federal government to try to intervene as they have in other industries.
Well, that's really interesting. Now, I got to let you go, I know, but I read about talk of a federal fund to pay for government newspaper ads that offer things like health advice. Another possibility might be to offer people tax credits for subscriptions. I know some of these loans or grants are probably going to go to some smaller local publishers. But, yeah, that's a whole new conundrum, isn't it? The government and free speech. And so that would be an interesting long-time discussion as well.
No question about it. It's beginning, but it certainly has not reached its crescendo, because I think there are a lot more voices that are going to contribute to this.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, John, never enough time. I look forward to reading your column in tomorrow's paper, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
He is John Rash from the editorial board of the Star Tribune on the Rash Report here on WCCO. Good morning.